it's amazing if you were to get your head cut off tomorrow, what our prayer priorities might be, right? And to think that getting the gospel out is Paul's primary prayer priority, no matter what. And that's also very encouraging. All right, so we're in 1 Corinthians, speaking of Paul. And Paul has told us in 1 Corinthians, we're in the last half of the chapter now, that he didn't come to baptize. He came to preach the gospel, and that's what he was all about. So if you have your outline, I know many of you have been following along. If you have a fresh one, we've covered the first point, the priority of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, the Apostle Paul was sent. He says in verse 17, "For Christ sent me." 1 Corinthians chapter, oh, that's Revelation right there next to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And so let's just take a moment and pick it up right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. And then we will commence to work on this outline and hopefully finish it up tonight. 1 Corinthians 1:17. The text says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." I lost my spot. Hang on. There we go. Thank you. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because of the foolishness of God is wise. Than men, and the weakness of God stronger than men. For ye see our calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we pick up the text this morning or this afternoon and we look at this passage, I pray you quicken it. Thank you, Lord, for the great words that Pastor Rajan has given us concerning the priority of praying for the gospel. And Lord, it is also important to pray for sickness and illness. But Lord, most importantly, we need to see that people are saved. And we thank you for that great priority that he's pointed out even tonight. Lord, we thank you for this time in your word. We pray your blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the application of the word of God. Lord, may we be a blessing to you, Lord, as we sang this morning. We do give you glory, Lord, and we pray that we would bless your heart because you have given your heart for us. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we look at this, if you had your outline, you're filling it in. Point A was Christ is the one who sends the called. And Christ was sent. Paul was called to go by Christ, and so he went. Of course, the church is called. We talked about that. So you have been called, point B. And then we saw that every Sunday you are sent. That's why, because you are a saint, I should say. Every Sunday you are a sent saint. So we talked about that. We got together. And then we talked about the simplicity of the gospel. And under point two, the simplicity of the gospel, the definition of the gospel is simple. We cannot afford to let Satan add or take away from the gospel. We talked about that. We talked about point C, how Satan wants to complicate the gospel. And we gave some illustrations of that. And then we ended on verse 18, which is the power of the gospel. And Paul says, therefore, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And when you look at verse 124, in chapter 1 and verse 24, the text says, "But unto them which are called, both the Jews and the Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Is the word power is mentioned in both of those verses. And point A is the gospel is meant to be preached. The word there is preached. And I'm out of those outlines, so we'll just If you need a blank, yell out and say, what's that? Because I'll be missing that. So the gospel is meant to be preached. We're called to teach, right? Which is to instruct in pure doctrine. But we're also called to preach and proclaim and herald the gospel. And so that is what we do as born-again Bible believers. And we should be doing. Now, not everybody's a preacher and has to be on the platform to do that. We preach truly with our lives. And lifestyle evangelism is good. And it's really necessary. Because if you preach the gospel, but you don't have a lifestyle, it's going to be a void, right? People have to see that you really are saved, if your words are going to have credit. Nonetheless, Paul said, it doesn't matter why they preach the gospel, let them preach it, even if they're phony, because the gospel in of itself is powerful. And so, but we don't want to be phonies. We want to live of the gospel, not just preach the gospel. So we need to do both. Preach the gospel and live of the gospel. The gospel message doesn't need us, right? We need it. And sometimes even I'm guilty of that in, you know, the way I try to encourage people to engage in gospel preaching, gospel ministry, going out to the park as though God needs us to go out to the park, right? So we can rewind the tape 500 years and say, well, you know, God's sovereign and God will get people saved that he wants to get saved and all of those things. But the reality is that that's ridiculous. God chose us. God wants to use us as instruments to get the gospel where it needs to go on time. And you cannot read the New Testament without seeing that. Yeah, God could do anything. He could drop a rock out of heaven that preaches the gospel, right? He could make the birds chirp and everyone hears the gospel. But that's not what he's chosen to do. He has chosen us to proclaim the gospel. And Paul got that, right? My job, Paul says, is to preach the gospel. And that's where the power is at. I didn't come just to baptize, right? Baptism isn't my primary function, nor was it Jesus's. It was to proclaim, in his case, to be the gospel. In our case, to proclaim the gospel. Okay, so point B, the power. Well, let me back up before we get to point B. The message under three there, the gospel message doesn't need us, we need it. So it defines God's intentions to men all by itself. The gospel itself defines his intentions to men. So keep a finger here and just go back to the book previous. And I know this may be redundant for some of us, but it's still good to lay our eyes on it afresh, especially when we're talking about power. So here you have Paul writing the book of Romans to Roman saints. But Rome is the power. Rome is the power of the Gentile world as Paul writes this. And he says in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek." And then he says in verse 17, "For therein," right, inside of that, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." That's in the gospel that the righteousness of God is revealed. Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God. And so it's revealed through the gospel. What makes God right? Well, it's who he is. And who he is so gracious and kind that he came and died on the cross. And he was buried and he rose again. And it's not just a trite little message. It's everything to us. Without the gospel, we're not saved. And so it is important that the gospel, man, it needs to be preached. It needs to be proclaimed. And it itself is powerful. It's just like we trust the word to go forth. I love Pastor Rogan's testimony of reading the word. And several years ago, Pastor Randy and I visited a guy named Rochunga Pudati. He also was an Asian from Manipur, which is just south and east of where Pastor Rajan's at. And he believed that the Word of God by itself was enough. And so he started a ministry and he would send out the Bibles to the world. Literally open up a phone book and just mail out Bibles. That was his evangelism ministry. Because he believed the power of God to use the Word of God to preach the gospel of God. That is amazing. And it was actually effective by the grace of God, because it was so dark that even a little light just illuminated the dark world that it was being sent to. He opened up the phone book and just sent gospels to Russia one time. just started sending them to people's addresses and boom, here comes the Bible. And then God would do a work. Now, I'm not saying that's the best way to do things, but I'm like, hey, if you believe God's Word is going to be effectual and you're willing to do that, go for it. You know, God will bless that. It's like the people that drop tracks out of airplanes. That was a real thing back in the 80s and the 70s. People fly over unreached areas dropping gospel tracks out. And, you know, I'm not sure that's the best way of getting the gospel where it needs to go. Probably better to actually show up person to person and share the gospel. But even that, you know, God will bless His word. It will not return void. And so, but that doesn't give us an excuse not to actually, the hardest thing to do is actually engage someone, isn't it? It's easy to say, here's a pamphlet, let me mail it to you, or here you go, and walk away. But actually to look someone in the eye and just say, hey, how are you? Do you know Jesus Christ? You know, James was talking about it yesterday or today, getting things started. Do you have a church home? You know, just finding a way to connect with them. You know why that's so scary? It's not because you're an introvert. You could come up and say, hey, how are the Royals doing? You ever been to the Royals game? It would not be near as hard. It might be hard, but it won't be near as hard. Because you know when you start asking people about Jesus, it gets in their business. Right? Because intuitively, you're dealing with their relationship with God, and people are like, hey, that's none of your business. And they start covering up with the fig leaves immediately. And we've all been on both, I mean, many of us have been on both sides of that, right? Where I know what it's like to have people prod me with the gospel, and you just want to punch them back, right? And that's what we're afraid of, is just getting, getting the door slammed in our face, even relationally, because we don't want to take that. But the reality is, if we really care about people, we'll share, right? If we care, we share. And we take the risk, knowing that God is actually going to have prepared sinners with prepared saints. And so we need to take that risk. So, because the gospel is meant to be preached. It's meant to be preached because it's powerful. Point B, the power of the gospel doesn't rest in the wisdom and the power of the man who proclaims it. Well, that's a good thing. I'm glad that that is the case. So the let me say that twice. The power of the gospel doesn't rest in the wisdom or the power of the man who proclaims it. And so that's really important. The remaining of this chapter, going back to our text in 1 Corinthians, really deals with how the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. It really is important that we just go with what God's given us and don't try to make it too complicated. Because Matthew 28:18, what's it say? Well, Jesus says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And so that power was given to, it was given to him. He is the gospel, but then he gives himself to us through the gospel, and all power has been given to us because Christ is in us. He is the King of glory. And so he's given us, we not only have received the good news, yeah, we received the message, the good news, we have received the good news. Jesus is the good news, and he's in us. And so that's what we're sharing. It's not a message, it's not just information. We are sharing the very person of Jesus Christ, all-powerful, almighty God, and his methodology, his mode of getting into people's hearts. Remember the story of Jonah and Nineveh? He simply said what God told him to say, and God brought revival. He was a reluctant minister. I mean, he was a rascal. And yet, he finally was obedient, and that obedience was blessed with revival in Nineveh, at least for a season. And so, if you go back to Exodus chapter 4, and that should be in your notes, Exodus chapter 4. Look down here in verse 10. It's kind of nice to preach unmiked. It reminds me of being at the City Union Mission again. So, if anyone falls out drunk on the floor, I'll be okay with it. Not really. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of a tongue. And then he says in verse 11, And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who made the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Man, how many of us feel like that? Well, Lord, I can't speak on your behalf. I know I feel like that often, and I'm sure you feel the same way. But the truth is, who made our mouth? Who made our tongue? And who are we trying to impress anyway? Right? This is about obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you go to the next chapter, in chapter 2, Paul goes on to say, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And that is not because Paul wasn't someone who couldn't speak excellently. It's because he chose not to. He said in verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." He was very specific about the priority of what he was preaching, which was the gospel. Yesterday we were at the Mormon Visitor Center, Pastor Rajan and I, and this girl was trying to convert us to Mormonism or whatever, there's a lot of things I could talk about. I could say, you know, I'm going through a Revelation series, and have you heard of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven? Have you heard the word dispensation? Do you know how the Bible's rightly divided? Now, I didn't do any of that, because you know what she needed? The gospel. The word that they use is, oh, we've received the gospel. I said, oh, really? So tell me, what is the gospel? And without getting into all the things, it's works. It's works. The gospel is this, 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 and this, and this. You know, baptism, the sacraments, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, interesting. Well, let me share with you what I received myself when I received the gospel. You know what she said? I've never seen that in the Bible before, like you're saying. And so we went to actually 1 Corinthians 15. I just laid it out very simply, not with wisdom of words, not with a lexicon or some dictionary, just very simply. And she said, I've never seen that before. And she's carrying it with her everywhere she goes. The gospel's in her hands and she doesn't know it, because it's shrouded in darkness, because her heart is dark, her foolish heart is dark, and she needs Jesus Christ. And so Paul understood that, wow, you know, the thing that people must have the most is that understanding of God's power, and God's power is revealed through the gospel. We minimize it sometimes because we get too smart ourselves and think it's simple. It's not simple that God was incarnate. It's not simple that God died on the cross for our sins and lived a sinless life. It's not simple that God has taken everything in the Bible and fulfilled it in one man, and all the law and the prophets hang on him, and he fulfilled every single prophecy just as it said. And it's not simple that his promise is to return and fulfill whatever else he hasn't already fulfilled, and it's going to be exactly to the letter of the law. All of that is contained in the gospel. We don't get into all of that when we tell someone Jesus died, was buried, and rose again the third day, but it's all in there. The gospel is powerful because it is all about Jesus Christ. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. Check this out. 2 Corinthians 4 and check out verse 3 here. So the Bible goes on to say, the Apostle Paul writing a second epistle, he says this to the Corinthians in verse 3. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, small g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now you tell me about predestination when you look at that. There is an active battle to get the gospel where it needs to go on time. And there is an active opposition. It's the devil, the god of this world. And we are engaged in this conflict, and he puts it on the Christians. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to the church body. No, it's hid to them that are lost. And he says in verse 5, for we preach not ourselves. We're not the good news. The church isn't the good news. Bringing someone to church doesn't save them, right? We say, oh, come to church. If the church isn't preaching the gospel, don't bring them to church. The issue is getting the gospel into people's lives, because the gospel is what's going to save them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, don't misunderstand me. The job of the church, and this church primarily, is to equip the saints. So you're not every week am I getting up here and giving a simple ABC type of salvation message. Primarily my job is to feed the flock of God. So if my job is to feed the flock of God, if your ABF pastor's job is to feed the flock of God, then what is our job? It's to go out and preach the gospel. And it's also my job, so I'm not exempt just because I'm the pastor. So my job is to go out and preach, but my primary job within the context of my office then is to feed the flock of God, so that you all, and along with myself and all the other pastors and everybody in the church, goes out and preaches the gospel, right? Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And I know that's what you do. You're the Amen Choir, so you can say Amen. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and check this out in verse 9. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 9. And the Apostle Paul, continuing on here, says that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word, by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. You see, the measuring stick is not one another, it's Jesus Christ. And so the power of the gospel doesn't rest in the wisdom or the power of man who proclaims it. God never asked Brian Hedges to be Billy Graham, and he's never asked you to be Brian Hedges. Right? He asked you to be you and me to be me and you and Billy Graham to be Billy Graham. So we shouldn't run around measuring ourselves against ourselves. We should be looking at the stature and the fullness of Christ and considering Him, right, who gave Himself so that we would have this great liberty. He has entrusted to us the gospel. And so when Pastor Rajan comes and says we should make praying the gospel our priority, he ain't just kidding. We should be making that our priority because that's our primary responsibility in addition to making disciples who go preach the gospel. So we've been re-emphasizing that at Heartland, right? Evangelism, discipleship, missions. Really, that's if you boil it down, that's what discipleship is evangelism and missions. I mean, they all kind of go together. It's like a trinity, right? If we're making disciples, if a disciple's not doing evangelism, are they a good disciple? No. Right? And if we're doing evangelism and we're not training people up and growing them, are we doing them any favors? No. Are we a good missionary? No. And we're a missionary to the culture where God sends us. So right now, if you're here, this is where you're a missionary to. Okay, so let me give you an illustration. The first man I led to Christ at the mission was after my first sermon. I'll never forget it. I preached on Peter washing his feet. I promise you, that message was not with wisdom of words. It was not eloquent. It was not probably hermeneutically proper. It probably wasn't even homiletically probably. I know it wasn't homiletically proper because I rarely do that even today. So it was just a presentation. And you know who was most surprised that Quincy got up and got saved? I was. I was up there preaching. I want someone to get saved, but actually didn't. I was like shocked. I get done preaching and this guy hops up and he gets saved. Now that was providential on God's part to help me. I know I needed that encouragement. And so I thank my Father in Heaven for offering that. But Quincy, he lived in Olathe, worked at Levitt's. He wasn't a mission guy. He got drunk. His wife kicked him out. He came home from work. He was so upset. He just was despondent. Went out, got drunk. Wakes up at City Union Mission. Brian Hedges preaching the gospel. And he comes forward. I don't know what happened to Quincy, but I think he really got saved that morning. His life was in a rut. And I was shocked. I was shocked at the power of the gospel. And so God, you know what He did? He prepared me. And then he prepared Quincy. And Quincy responded. So God has prepared servants. So don't misunderstand me. I do believe in God's providence. And I do believe in God's sovereignty. But I also believe we got the opportunity, the will, right, to obey or not obey. And so we need to engage God. Point C, because I got to get done here. The gospel message is the power of God. So you're like, you've already said that. Well, I have said that twice. But the gospel has the power to save those who believe. That's what verse 18 of our text says. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." The gospel has the power to cross religious, ethnic, and racial boundaries. That's what verse 24 is talking about. "But unto them which are called," doesn't matter who they are, both Jew and Greeks, "Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Right? God is able to cross all the boundaries with the gospel. And that's one of the most amazing things about taking mission trips. Is we have our concept of Christ here in the States, and it is what it is. But once you leave this country and you see God working in other cultures, it just messes you up. Because you realize that God is big and He goes everywhere. The Christianity that we believe, that we hold on to, the Christ Jesus that we know, is not a Christ Jesus that was born bred in America. You know, driving a Chevy and drinking apple, or eating apple pie and drinking Coca-Cola. Though He may do that with you, but the point being is this, is that Jesus Christ is big, and the gospel is comprehensive, and it goes everywhere, and it works everywhere. Not because it's just, wow, man, that Paul was really smart when he put that together and started running around telling everybody. Or Jesus really had a great program, didn't he? No. It is the good news. In all of creation, in all of time, for all of eternity, this is the way that God chose to manifest himself at his first coming. This is what he did, and he wrapped in his second coming with it. There is a lot of power packed into the gospel. And so when we go out preaching it, we are bringing TNT, we're bringing dynamite everywhere we go, because it messes up every other religious system, because there's only two in the world. There's one that's grace and one that's works. And we bring the gospel. What we bring is the gospel of grace. And it puts all the other effort that we all like to put into in our own self-righteousness and unrighteousness, it just puts it to shame when we look at the righteousness of Christ. It's so beautiful. It's incredible. So the gospel is the power that we have to overcome sin and death. And it's not just something we preach, right? It's something we've received. It's something, well, I'm resting in it tonight. I couldn't get up in the morning and come preach at a church or go throughout my week and act like I'm a minister of the gospel if I don't really believe the gospel. The gospel is the power. Oh, this is so beautiful. It is the power and practical. Listen to me. It is the power to reconcile any relationship. Now that'll sell in Laodicea, because our relationships are so dysfunctional, because we're so narcissistic and so self-centered. And so this is the thing. The gospel can deliver you from self-centeredness. It can deliver you from narcissism. It can deliver you from a world of hurt. Because God's gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to reconcile any relationship, because the primary relationship that must be reconciled is with God Almighty through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a beautiful thing. Point D. The gospel is what saved us. Not saving us, it's what saved us. I like that in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So we already looked at that last week, right? It's not saving us. If your Bible says it's saving you, you have the wrong Bible. Right? There's a moment in time where you come to an understanding. Right? There's a reason that 2 Corinthians speaks of being blinded by the God of this world. There is a moment in time where God pulls the scales off our eyes and we receive the gospel and we are saved. We are secured. We are sealed. We are redeemed. We are sanctified. We are justified. That's who we are. There's a who we are. There's a song like that somewhere. Is Sam here? That rascal. Switchfoot sings it. Who we are. That's right. There's that one too. That's probably a better one. Switchfoot has one too. But anyway, that's a whole nother message. So we won't see the full impact of the gospel in our lives, or even the lives of those we preach the gospel to. Check this out. You think the gospel is just a little bitty message? You won't even see the path. You won't even understand. I don't even understand it, even to this day. I've been saved 30 years as of March. I don't even understand the impact of what I've been preaching for 30 years. You say, well, you're the pastor. You should know that. I am the pastor, and I want to know that. But I won't know that until I get out of here and I get to heaven. And I actually see... Whoa! I won't really get a hold of the power of the gospel till I get to heaven. I go, whoa! Look at that! That was Jesus. That was the righteousness of God. That was the gospel. That was powerful. And I believe that. And I think, oh, woe to us, and me too. And we think, oh, the power we missed. The power we missed. Should anybody be going to hell? And of course, they'll be justly condemned, but it's sad. We need to be out preaching the gospel. The gospel's power only applies to those who believe it and receive it. Right? It doesn't apply just because it's powerful. Right? You have to believe it and you have to receive it. You have to believe it and receive it. The gospel has the power to transcend the culture and religion. I've already mentioned that in 23 and 24. And Paul mentions that. Some won't receive it in verse 23, right? But we preach Christ crucified. And so we modify the message so that the Jews can receive it. And then we modify the message so the Greeks can receive it. No, he just says, hey, we preach Christ crucified, and that is a stumbling block unto the Greeks. It's a stumbling block to the Jews, right? The Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks it's foolishness. So God allows us to preach a gospel that doesn't even make sense to people. Exactly. Because it won't make sense until they understand who the gospel is. It's not just a story. It's not a cunningly devised fable. It is the power of God. The gospel has power to transcend. And in verse 24, but unto them which are called. And this is good news, both Jews and Greeks. Don't be discouraged because people mock you. Don't be discouraged because people don't receive the gospel. And by the way, don't take it personally as if, well, my presentation, if I was just better. Well, yeah, maybe you could improve on that and ask God to give you grace on that. But at the end of the day, what is important is getting the gospel out. And yes, if God can help you in your presentation, praise the Lord. But at the end of the day, God is going to prepare some Greeks and He's going to prepare some Jews that are ready to receive it. I mean, there are people out there that are prepared sinners, just like you're a prepared saint. And so we've got to get the gospel out there. If the Word First folks wouldn't have prepared the Johns and Robins, I mean, then we wouldn't have them. If Pat wouldn't have brought the tracts, we wouldn't have them. If we wouldn't have brought our Bibles, we wouldn't have them. You've got to be prepared to go. But God brings the people that need to be met, and He does that work. He's amazing. And so the gospel has the power to bring people to this point of decision as well. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul was on Mars Hill, look at that real quick, and I'll be done. I got to be done. I'm over time by about 4 minutes, so forgive me. Acts chapter 17, Mars Hill. The Apostle Paul's up there preaching along, and he says this at the end after he made that wonderful message, and he you know. Preached without even using his Bible, preached the gospel. It says, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. And then it says in verse 34, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among which was Dionysus the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So we either receive the gospel or we reject the gospel. Some will mock, others will hear again, but certain men cleave. Either way, the decision about the power of God to save has been made. And so when we preach the gospel and people hear the gospel and they make a decision to receive or not receive the gospel, a decision has been made. And so it's important that we understand that. And that's a sobering thing to think about. I used to preach at the mission and for week after week, and after a while I was like, man, Lord, what am I doing? Just beating my head against the wall here? And that's a very stupid thing to think and arrogant, which is why, you know, God really challenged me. When I was a young Christian, I really thought, oh man, I should preach the gospel everywhere, blah, 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 like Billy Graham or something. And so God put me in a position where nobody would respond, just to prove to me that His gospel is worth preaching. And after preaching and especially once I became familiar with the men, it occurred to me that I'll see all these men again, both the saved and the lost. And some of these guys that give me excuses today, that excuse is not going to wash when they stand before a holy God at the great white throne. And it really sunk in on me. Wow, what I'm doing here is giving men every opportunity to repent while they have time, while they have breath. And some of those men would be there every day, 52 weeks a year, 365. They would see me probably 100 times a year, 50 times a year, conservatively 25 times a year, probably more than that. And I know there's other guys. At one time we had 20-some people preaching. So I know at least 20-some times, if they're there every time, they're hearing the gospel, hearing the gospel, hearing the gospel every month times 12. I mean, they're hearing the gospel. Is that in vain? No. Because someday they'll stand before a holy God And when they pull out, well, nobody ever told me. He'll say, really? How about 365 at City Union Mission twice a day? You know, and you know what? Every mouth will be stopped. Because the gospel, not only is it good news, it reveals the goodness of God. God wants it to go out because it helps everyone understand that God is good. God in His righteousness could just wipe us out. He could destroy us. He could just erase us, and He'd be justified. He doesn't have to put up with humanity. But not only does He put up with humanity, He redeemed humanity and gave His Son for humanity and gave humanity value through His own Son. And it is the goodness of God then that should lead us to repentance. And God, our innate goodness is not innate in us. It's God, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so we should preach the gospel because, well, frankly, because we can. We can preach it, and we should. So when we get back next week, we'll talk about the wisdom of the gospel. And I'll get out of chapter 1 finally, I think. So let's go ahead and transition to prayer time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to pray, I pray that your word would sink in our hearts and, Lord, you be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks for coming out, and we're going to get to our prayer pieces here. Hey, have you seen Peggy Rick drawn? Okay, I was just wondering how she's doing. Slowing down. Okay. Yeah, you did.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you. That would be great. So what am I doing now? I'm passing out our prayer list, our prayer pieces. If you're a guest tonight, we're glad that you came, and we hope you come back every time. Here in a moment, we're going to break up and pray together. If you're not comfortable praying together, that's fine. You can pray silently with them, or you know, it's up to you, but we'd hope that you could join in. If not, that's okay. Nobody's judging you. It's a great time to just come together and pray. On these prayer pieces is our prayer list broken down in small bite-sized pieces. Sometimes it's out of date, by the way, so if you see something that needs to be updated, contact Desiree Van Niekerk, and she will get that updated for you and for us, for all of us. And so, and that is the prayer list that goes out on Wednesday night. And so as far as prayer updates, Pastor Rajan will be going home here on Tuesday. He'll go to Chicago, and then he'll be going home after that. So be praying for Pastor Rajan as he travels. Just continue to pray. I was just looking. We've had 11 first-time guests, not counting today, in HBF over the last month. And so be praying for our love for people as they come in and out of the door, that we notice them and that we... And you're one of them, Franklin, I think. So he's here tonight, so praise the Lord. So how do you feel about Heartland? You feel like we're nice people or we're just a bunch of weirdos? All right, thanks. None like putting him on the spot.
So,
that's right. I really wouldn't do that if I didn't feel like we had a rapport. So now we have... It was awkward. I'm like, well, he's like one of the guys, I think, on our list. So actually, it's not. You've never filled out a guest card, have you?
Yeah.
So that's 12. It's 12. So, no, we're glad you're here. Thanks for coming, and you're always welcome and wanted. But we have had 12. It is Franklin, right? So, Franklin, we had 12, not counting Wednesday night. And I don't know. We've had a ton of guests on Wednesday night as well. So just be praying about that. I think people aren't coming because we are anything. They're coming because of this book, right? And we need to preach the word. And so let's be on our A game and go out to people and love on them and show them the love of Christ. That's what we need to be doing. And so, and that's just a handshake, a friendly smile, what have you. And speaking of that, on our prayer list, Randy's in the house. Give us a Gwen Arnie update, Randy. Mm. And they can do a front porch visit, right? Which I just found that out. So you can do a front porch visit. Call probably. So, yeah. You'll be screened and... Yeah. Have you done a front porch visit? Have you done a front porch? Yeah. I'm a little hesitant myself because of the volume of people I'm around. So that's one of the screening questions is how many people are you around? Because obviously they don't want you carrying something. So if you're around a lot of people or you're visiting a lot, you're a nurse working in the hospital, you might get... Don't take it personally if you're not invited. So, because they need to protect him. Yes. Carry stuff. No, somebody's got to say it, Randy. So, might as well be you. Yeah. You guys hearing that over here? So it's nothing personal, sis and children, or Hedges kids, but or Bianca. But no, little kids obviously can, and you know, also like I said, if you're in a nurse, there's a very real possibility if you're around a lot of people that might have any kind of illness, you get axed. It's not personal. So his priority of healing is number one. But that's good news, and keep praying that his levels go up. A couple weeks, Sharon Bolkin's going to have her test, her results come back, see how she's doing. So let's just pray God heals her up. I heard Pastor Rajan said that Pastor Carl Silva in Mumbai got a clean bill of health from his doctor. I know. So that's unheard of. If that's the case, then that's a miracle, ALS. And so, yeah, that would be miraculous. So we'll have to, that's amazing. So keep that in your prayers and thoughts and praise. So I'll keep you updated on that. But that's amazing. So, yes, ma'am. Yes, thank you. Yeah, Amber West's aunt had a car wreck this weekend, Friday, I think, or Saturday, and she is burnt severely, and she may not make it. And I haven't had an update. Do you know the latest? The latest was she's serious, you know, to critical condition with serious burns, and she could pass. The good news is she's saved, so... if she were to pass, be absent from the body, present with the Lord, but that's still obviously a bad thing. I think this is down near Branson or Springfield or something, somewhere. Oh, Joplin, so due south. Broke her back in two places. Yes. So, praise the Lord, she got away. Is there any other details on that I need to know? Because obviously I don't know all the details, but I know... That's right. Yes, thank you. Can we talk about that, or is that private?
I don't know if I would spread it outside here since I just blabbed it.
Yeah. Just be praying for her aunt. She's in a bad way. So if she needs a skin graft to work for her, and it's a dangerous situation. So she needs God's goodness on her life. So that's good. Another thing to pray retroactively, right, kind of like in reverse, is like we go out to the street. So on the Tuesday, be praying. I would just encourage all of us as we remember it. Like I'm in the Gospels right now, so I kind of remember it because Jesus reminds me. But don't forget to pray for seeds that are sown. I used to be in the habit every Sunday, one of my primary prayer initiatives after church was, Lord, erase anything I said that was not supposed to be said from everybody's memory. Two, Lord, take every seed that's sown and drill it down into people's hearts and bring forth fruit, you know, because only God can do that. And the same thing goes for anything, you know, you're witnessing, even like this girl we witnessed to, you know, don't just, when you sow the seed, pray over it, you know, over the field, and ask God, because it's God's will that there'll be, that there's fruit, not for our glory, but for His glory. So pray over the seeds that are sown, and that have been sown, day in, day out, week in, week out. And so I'd also ask, be praying for the speaking of sowing seeds, be praying for the Clinton transition. Hopefully it becomes a church plant from a seed plant. And be praying also that in due time, we're not going to rush into something down south, by the way, in Bates County. We got to pace ourselves. Giving birth twice within too short of a period can kill our bone structure. So so we're gonna, but we're still praying for all of that and trusting the Lord for more. So we praise the Lord for His goodness to us. In a practical sense, you know, be praying for those that are considering HBI. That's a big commitment. That's a 4-year commitment. There's some that'll go part-time, some that'll go full-time, but there's folks in our church praying about that. And we do need people to continue on in that process if the Lord is calling them to do that. And if not, that's okay too, right? And just pray that God continues to grow people to the place they need to grow and can serve the Lord at the capacity that God's wanting them to serve in the body of Christ. And we give them everything they need to do that. And so obviously you see as we talk about the E-Wing, you'll be getting a letter coming out this week, as I mentioned this morning. It's intended to be a letter of rejoicing. But at the same time, as you look down the E-Wing, you're like, whoa, we need some helpers here again. But that's okay. Just pray and ask the Lord to provide the folks that are helping. I think I can say this on behalf of Don and Eileen, are just happy to do so. They love the Lord and they love serving, but we don't want to take advantage of them. So just be praying that God continues to bring laborers for the harvest, and He will. But we're going to need a team effort going forward. There's no doubt about it. We need to come together and get it done. So I'm looking forward to seeing the joy that comes out of that. And then just in general, you know, the normal things that we've been praying for, you know, Carl Hatfield and Walt Cundiff and those men, keep them in your prayers as well. Walt's up, getting around, doing well, so that's good. Joe Sparks, man, I would encourage you to just every touch you can have with that man, take it. And he puts on a good, strong face. He's a man of a lot of sorrows, let me tell you. Yes, ma'am.
We went to Saps and had dinner today at lunch. Mm-hmm. And Walt and Betty were there.
Oh, good.
And he usually remembers Rex and says hi, Rex. He didn't. He just knew that we were somebody, and he talked to us, and, you know, speech is getting harder to understand. But he was up and he was walking with the walker and doing great.
Now that's great. Praise the Lord.
Now that you mentioned, maybe a month ago, somebody did come to our Bible hour class that was a trucker, and he came.
Can you call them and see if they'll let us?
I think they will, because they're, you know,
if they will, just call the office and have Kathy make a sign.
Okay, yeah, I will.
Well, Kathy won't, but one of the office ladies will make it.
But we need to put it up, you know, in different places there.
Yes.
Inside, and then where they park their trucks and stuff.
We also have our van available. If somebody wanted to run up and pick people up, we could do that. I just can't get away to do that on Sunday morning, so we'd need some folks minded to do that. So, but we, yeah, that would be, amen. I would love to see that. And so, yeah, if we could get signs up there, that would be great. So, all right, well, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time just to meet together. We pray your blessing on our prayer time. We do pray for the Sapp brothers and the opportunity to minister there. We pray, God, for just the privilege of praying. And I pray, the Lord, that you're blessed tonight as we come together and lift these petitions before you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, sir. I haven't yet, no. I'll have her chop that off.